Good evening. Welcome to the Board of Directors meeting for the Oceano Community Service District on February 11, 2009. Roll call, please.
Director Dean?
Here.
Director Hill?
Here.
Director Mann?
Here.
Director Dahl?
Here.
Director Lucy?
Here. Please join me for the flag salute.
Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items not on the agenda, and it will be 3-minute time. Any public comment?
Bill Bookout, Oceano. At the last OCSD meeting, one of the directors here chose to slander my name, my business name, and I find it very offensive to hear a professional person slander another person. I don't appreciate it. I do not approve of it. During director committee reports on 1/28/2009, Director Lucy said, instead of reporting on committee, I want to bring up the issue of how much ex-director, past director, Bookout has cost the people of Oceano. You said you agreed to commit your life to your seat for a couple of reasons. One was to talk about me and how I committed physical abuse. This sounds like you ran with malicious intent to attack me in public, with slander, and to defame my reputation. I demand that these types of unlawful attacks cease, and that the public apology be made with a promise to maintain a professional conduct set forth by the that back up your condemning statements. If you can't promise that you, as an elected public official, can abide by the professional and ethical standards, district policy, and the law, then you should convince us, the public, the community, Oceano residents, why it is that you should hold office. You're watching these meetings have been really disturbing. Your failure to do so will leave the public with no other choice than to pursue all options at our disposal to resolve this matter. Being attacked, slandered at the last meeting, has a major impact. I brought a handout for public record. And what's on here is a website that I have put together showing why State Highway 1 is flooding, showing why my property, Oceano Nursery, is flooding. In 2005, we had a meeting here where the public, the community of Oceano, stood before you. Jim Hill was the president at that time, and he heard comments about a PVC pipe in the drainage channel. The community residents talked about that pipe and asked for it to be removed. It was not removed. This website I put on the line is www.oceanonurseryflooding.blogspot.com. I want the public seeing this on TV to look at this website, www.oceanonurseryflooding.blogspot.com. I want them to see the videos of the OCSD pipe dredging debris and sedimentation into the railroad's drainage channel. I want the public to see the PDF files of Caltrans. We're showing this flooding going all the way to the ocean. If Highway 1 is not flooding, then the west side of Oceano is flooding. And that is because Caltrans has taken Highway 1 and they made a drainage retention basin out of Highway 1.
Your time is up, Mr. Bookout.
I thank you. I hope you listen to this. I hope you pay attention. And the copies there are for the public's record.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, we'll ask Commander Brian Hill to give, or Brian Haskell to give his report. We inadvertently left it off the agenda.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Haskell, Commander of the Sheriff's Department South Station. Many of you might have seen in the paper last week a cockfighting ring that we broke up the other individuals to either stand trial or or plead guilty to charges. But that was one of the biggest ones in California to date that we managed to break up, and we're taking steps to try to make sure they don't start up again at a later time. The other things I have to bring up tonight are, unfortunately, I think related to our current economic situation and their fraud incidents. We have an email scam going around right now, which says it's from the Walmart Corporation. Basically, you get an email that appears to come from Walmart, offers $150 on a debit card account if you fill out a customer service satisfaction form. Walmart was contacted, and they say that they have do not participate in this type of promotion and have no affiliation with this group. So it appears they're trying to get personal information to use for identity theft, just typical type of scam that's been going around on the internet. So if anybody runs into that, it is fraudulent. The other one that we have is a little bit more interesting. We have somebody who apparently is calling individuals and businesses claiming to be a representative from the county jail for the sheriff's department. They go on to tell the person they have on the phone that either one of their employees or one of their relatives is currently in jail and needs bail money to get out. I want to tell everybody that the jail does not call anyone for bail money requesting anything like that. If you get a call from a relative or a employee who has been arrested, that's probably legitimate, but the sheriff's department doesn't do that. One lady apparently decided to go ahead and follow the instructions and ended up losing $400 cash because she went and got a MoneyGram and sent it to the people at the address they gave her. So anybody gets a call like that, it is, give my station a call. We'll investigate it. It's illegitimate. The last thing going around, you may have seen it in the mail, is this rather official-looking document requesting that you pay this company money to have your property reappraised so that your property taxes will be brought down. At this time, this appears to be a legitimate business, but what we're Bernardo explaining. And that's what I've got for this evening, if anybody has any questions for me.
Any questions from the board?
Yeah, I have questions. Thanks for your report. It makes it helpful to people. So I've been getting a few calls, and you know, as the economy gets worse and worse, and people become more and more homeless, right, we're starting to see encampments just collecting in certain parts of town. And I think that we should be able to openly talk about this, and you know what I'm talking about. I have a lot of empathy for people who are homeless and people who live in poverty. And I've probably put in over $250,000 in the fight against poverty. And so we now have an encampment that started down on the railroad tracks right there, right where Sienega and Highway 1 is. Now, I don't think people should be penalized because they're homeless and they're poor. But I do think that something needs to happen so our public health is not at stake. I took the grandkids and the nieces and nephews down by the airport, and what we do is we chase the ducks, and we're always faster than the ducks, you know. And we stumbled into one of the camps by mistake, and we saw the conditions, and so we do have a public health problem going on. I see that there's safety issues. I mean, we weren't at risk. It was daylight, and I didn't feel threatened at all or anything, but I did get a chance to see the waste and the garbage and what people are using for facilities and just the overall conditions. And I've also noticed, too, that there's more activity at night on the streets. Now, I'm fortunate I live on Beach Street on the one block that's lit, and I think there's a couple of us blocks that are lit, but, you know, but it's becoming louder and louder late at night. So can you talk a little bit about, like, maybe, you know, things are changing and maybe there's some things that we can do to try to minimize it. But we do have we have some really large collections of people who have migrated here.
Well, we have
noticed, right?
I have noticed, yes. Conditions and the problems that that creates for the community. So, on the other hand, if you do find other encampments that we might not be aware of, we would like to be notified about that. And I please anybody that does come over and see me or talk to deputy at our station, and we'll go ahead and act on that appropriately. And obviously, our goal is to move them along to some place where they can coexist in a way that's not going to cause problems for the community. So that would be our biggest goal.
So then I ask you just one more thing. We're kind enough where we take brochures and referrals when you deal with, you know, situations such as this.
Sure.
Okay, because, you know, I don't want to villainize it at all.
Well, we explained to them where the homeless shelters are. There's obviously the one up on Prado Road, and then there's one down in Santa Barbara. And we try to refer them to those locations where they can receive assistance instead of, you know, perpetuating what's been going on.
Okay, thank you. I believe Director Dahl has a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Just was one thing. You talked about people being able to have their property tax reappraised, and those are for instances where people have purchased before the market fell and can get it reappraised with Tom Bordenaro's office to bring their property tax down. Do you have any contact information on that?
Well, I didn't bring anything with me. If you look in the phone book under county government, the assessor's office, their phone number is right there.
Okay, so the county assessor's office?
Correct.
Yeah. All right.
And also, apparently they're doing an automatic recheck of all properties that were purchased after 2003 to see if they qualify for a reduction at this point. So it's being automatically done for pretty much everybody who bought during that period of time.
Okay, great.
Jim or Pamela?
I have one question. I've been getting phone calls at home from somebody claiming that my car's maintenance agreement has run out and they wanted to do something. Can you speak to that?
There are companies that are telemarketing companies that are doing large batch phone calls in this area trying to sell extended warranties on vehicles. And I know that I've been getting them at my house. We get them at the station. We actually have an intercom number that you can dial into for our station, and we get the auto calls on that line, so it comes over the intercom, which is rather entertaining, if not irritating.
I did ask them, and they said, I said, what? They're asking me the model, and I said, well, you should know the model. You're the one calling me about this, and that just stumps them.
That's right.
But they keep calling back. It's two and three, four times now.
Right, and the issue is they're somewhat misleading because they're acting like they're following up on something that you already have when in most cases they're not. They're trying to sell you something that you don't already have. So they have no idea what they're dealing with at that point.
Mm-mm.
So
it's crazy.
It is an ongoing problem, though.
Okay. Jim?
No questions, but thank you again for looking out for all of us.
We appreciate seeing the patrols on the street and hope to continue to see them.
Well, we're hoping we will, too.
Thank you very much.
Are you going to be losing any more patrols?
We're not really sure at this point. Everything is pretty much up in the air. It's dependent upon what state government does, what happens with this stimulus package in Washington. It's very difficult because state government is such a huge unknown that we don't know how it's going to impact us one way or the other. Right now, we've already lost almost $1 million in grant funding, which, as you saw last week, caused us to reduce our staffing in methamphetamine and our sexual assault felony enforcement. So we're hoping that they get this whole resolved before we have to start moving more people out of those specialty assignments.
We still have the rural?
Yes. We still have them in place.
Good.
And hopefully they'll stay there. They do a good job.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If the board is interested, I actually downloaded this press release from the slow assessor's office last week when it came out. The contact number it gives in there is 805-781-5636, and you can get more information on www.slocounty.ca.gov /assessors office. And that kind of gives an update on the scam that's going on and what a homeowner's right is to have their property reassessed.
Thank you. Did everybody get that? Okay. Board member items for discussion. Mary, we'll start at your end.
I'm speechless.
So, all right. So, Director Dahl?
No, I have nothing. Thank you.
Director Hill?
Nothing right now.
Director Dean?
Nothing.
Okay, thank you very much. Review and approval of the minutes of January 20th and January 28th.
I think we had only
I thought we had the 20th last week. So I have the 28th.
28th is what I have, yeah.
Okay, we'll do the 28th. Did everybody have a chance to read them? And any corrections? Did you have a chance to read them, Vern?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. No correction. Looking for a motion, please.
Do you have any public comment?
Or public comment on the motions on January 28th? Hearing none, bringing it back to the board.
I'll move approval of the January 28th minutes as presented.
I second that.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the January 28th, 2009 minutes as presented. Do I need a roll call on this?
No.
No? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, took care of that. Fire operations, Captain Leathers.
Thank you. I'm going to give a report for January 2009. During the month of January, the department responded to 64 calls. 35 were in Oceano, 10 in Grover, 10 in Arroyo Grande, and 7 of Cal Fire, and 2 of those were on the beach. Of the 35 calls we went here in Oceano, 25 of those were EMS related, 2 fires, and 8 miscellaneous public assists. Spent the time in this report, 64 calls, and this time last year we were at 68, so we're right about the same time frame we were last year. The three departments, Arroyo Grande and River Beach, we completed our CPR recertification for the departments. We've also been working on ground ladder testing, or not testing, but with ground ladders, how to deploy them to a building, and also multi-company fire ground operations. You might have seen us this month over across from Washington Mutual Bank at that old photo lab using that building at Cal Fire. Cause is most likely fireworks related. Not 100% positive on that. The Alley project is continuing with a little more than half of the no parking signs that are being installed. Obviously, this is just kind of time consuming for the on duty crew, and we're doing as much as we can. As little, a few every couple weeks is what we're trying to get done. Engine 6192, which is our first out structure engine, medical engine, went out of service for about a week because we had a broken cab mount. We had to get it replaced. Then the part came from the Modesto area, so we had to wait for it to get here. We went ahead and replaced both sides just due to the factor that the one was broke. We figured it was almost as cheap just to do the two at the same time, and it worked out. So those got replaced. The 31st of January, we had this fire association. We had our awards banquet, so we at Giuseppe's, we handed out 4 of our awards. The Chief's Dedication Award, which myself and Captain Bova kind of compilated and kind of went through who we thought was to get this award, was driver operator Paul Collada. Firefighter of the Year, Sean Watham, which is in the audience tonight.
Rookie of the year is Scott Forsiglia, and the manual Vargas is Michael Schmidt. And that is our report for January.
Thank you very much.
Any questions, comments, concerns, complaints?
Yes, I have a question from the audience.
Where was that brush fire?
It was out on the dunes. Yeah.
Which side?
To be to the south side, south of the pier, or south of Pier Avenue. Close to right around there, just before the creek, or after the creek, depending on when it flows.
Those sand fires are just dead.
Killer.
Well, we want to congratulate Sean on your award, and I'm sure we'll be recognizing the four gentlemen in the very near future.
So you can't get the trucks out on those dunes, so how do you do? Do you run hoses? Do you go out with shovels?
Our patrol is the dedicated beach vehicle, and it does go out into the dunes.
So you're able to fight it with the one vehicle?
Correct. Yeah.
And then you used water that...
They were shuttling water with some of the other vehicles. Talking with Captain Bova, I guess it was the perfect time. It was a low...
Any tonight. Eight utility items. Our regular cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. Continual disclosure of the emergency declared by the Board of Directors concerning the cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water mains. Public Contract Code Section 22050C1 requires that if the governing body orders any action after the emergency has been declared, the governing body shall review the emergency action at its next regularly scheduled meeting and at every regularly scheduled meeting thereafter until the action is terminated, to determine by 4/5 vote that there is need to continue the action. And we're still working on the repairs. The recommended action before the board is by board discussion, public comment, motion second, and roll call vote to determine by 4/5 vote that there is a need to continue the action. Board discussion. Public comment. If not, bringing it back to the board for a motion.
Move we continue the emergency.
I second.
Thank you very much. It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Director Dean.
Sorry.
You first.
I got the first.
Director Dahl.
Yes.
Director Dean.
Yes.
Director Lucy.
Yes.
Vice President Hill.
Yes.
President Mann.
Yes. Thank you very much. That brings us to administrative items. We have a new category under this called old business. So hopefully we captured all the things that we have not completed that were left still hanging. Distribution of the codification sections. Kevin, would you like to update us
on the progress? Certainly. Yes, I will. The board at your last meeting did set the committees and gave the assignments and actually kind of formed a hybrid committee or two to handle the different code sections. And we're needing to set up meetings with those committees to go over these code sections, working very long hours at his work. So I think it would be good if you know which committees you're on, or if you don't, we can remind you after the meeting, meet, and we should set some dates and get that rolling.
Madam President?
Yes.
Can I add something to this conversation?
Certainly.
You know, I agree with you 100%, Kevin. I just think if we could, and maybe it's for personal reasons, but we have some very big things on our plate right now. And I think that it would short... I don't want to give the codification process the short end of the stick because we have a very, very important personnel issue going on right now that affects the entire area, the hiring of the GM, you know, and then we're trying to get the goals out. And so if there was some way we could, because I don't want it to get lost either, because there's just too much work on it. I'm really very impressed with what's, you know, I'm not one for big documents, but actually I'm enjoying reading it, but the other stuff that I've had to read very relatively quickly has taken away from really absorbing it. Is there some way we could table it till we can at least get through our permanent position filled, you know, or that we accept it for just a time period, you know, and then that way I can truly pay attention and not just give it the, you know, this looks great and go, and you know, I don't want to do it to it. I want to give it my all. So I don't know. I know that being new, that's contributing to part of being overwhelmed, and so I just don't want to see it get the short of the stick.
Director Lucy and members of the board, I agree with the comments that you've made about the other important items. It's one reason that we at staff level have not been able to work to organize your committees to meet, because we've been devoting our time to the general manager recruitment and, you know, plus our regular daily operations. So I would really turn it back to the board and ask, you know, what speed would you like us to go? If you would like to wait until the recruitment is complete, the work on it. It is a significant amount of work.
And I think it might behoove us just to talk about it after the meeting. Some of us could go ahead and begin, and some of us could come in later and do it. So it's not like it has to be all in one fell swoop. We can merge it as we're going along. So we'll talk about it afterwards, and maybe some of us can get going. I know we have a director with work commitments and so forth that are long and hard, and that's another thing that's going on. So everybody maybe can just decide after the meeting tonight how much we can do. But it's not like we have to do this all in one gulp either.
You would want to have those discussions among the committee members, not as your board as a whole.
Right.
You are allowed to discuss the setting of agendas and times and what's on agendas in that kind of a format. But, so you'd be careful not to talk amongst yourselves as a board, but as committee members.
But as our committees that are set forth.
The two-person committees, yes.
Yeah.
But I just want to, Ryan, that there are a couple of people are on more than one committee, so they might talk. Pamela might talk to Jim, and then Jim might have to talk to Mary or something like that. As long as
that's unavoidable, but as long as you're talking about your committee
and
scheduling, I don't see that being an issue.
Yeah, I just didn't want to be.
Can we gossip?
No. Okay. Yeah. Well, then before we go home, but after the meeting is over, those of us that do have some time to work on this committee should talk about setting some time. And the rest, those that don't have time right now, we hope to have the general manager recruitment done, the part that we're really having to deal with, by the end of the month. Most of that, when I look at our timetable for the things that the board is doing, then that would free us up.
Yeah, that definitely would free us up. Okay.
So that brought us to the general manager's recruitment. Do you want to update that, Kevin, about what we've done so far?
Well, you did have a meeting last night, which was very productive, very to a professional committee or outside committee or technical committee. It travels by the different names, made up of others in the community and in the government community to assist you with that. They will be conducting those interviews on February 26th. That will be an all-day process. That outside group will then make a recommendation to you on who they believe should continue further in the process, and then you will conduct your interviews with, say, five candidates, more or less, on the following day, Friday the 27th.
Any comment from the public? Any board? Anything the board needs to add to this report? No.
I thought we got some really good candidates just from the applications. I think we 39 or so. I was really impressed with the level of skill, at least that they were able to articulate on paper. I thought that we had some really good, strong candidates, and that you know, I think it's also too reflective of the times, you know. But I think we have a lot to choose from.
Okay. Number three, the Halcyon Mobile Home Parks update. Kevin.
Yes, well, I have some good news reporting the two mobile home parks on Halcyon that we are intending to annex to the district. The Grande Estates mobile home park has signed the agreement and deposited $10,000 with the district. So I've authorized John Wallace Group to begin work on that application process. And this Friday, I'm expecting the Halcyon Estates Mobile Home Park to bring in the agreement, have it notarized here in our office, and also make the $10,000 deposit. Your board will need at some point in the future then to forward an application to LAFCO for the annexation and sphere of influence change that will be needed. Those costs are entirely borne by the two mobile home parks, including the payment.
Response.
I'm going to have to go back and check into that further. There's two ways for annexations to happen to a special district such as ours or a city, and that is landowners themselves can make application, or the agency can make application.
They are paying for it, sure. So it seems to me they are the ones moving it. If they didn't want to do this, it wouldn't be happening, I believe.
That's correct. If they didn't want to do it, it wouldn't be happening. I had thought we'd set it up that the district would make the application and they would reimburse us for all our costs.
I've probably been disagreeing on the particulars of this all along.
I hear what you say.
And probably because I am on the LAFCO Commission.
I was just going to say Madam Chair is on the LAFCO Commission and probably has a significant amount of understanding about the process.
Is there any comment from the public regarding this issue? Yes, dear.
Yes, Karen White, Halcyon. Is it still on the planning to wheel the water to them rather than put a new line in?
Yes, at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else on this item? Okay.
No, Madam Commissioner.
Number four, Bookout versus OCSD et al. Et al. I think that was would be a Ryan update, would it not?
No, I don't. I actually don't think so. Remember, we've got to discern discussion of the actual litigation itself is what we usually do in closed session.
All right.
I believe, and Kevin, you can correct me, I believe this is regarding costs.
It was expensement reimbursement. And I apologize. I've somewhat lost track where we were on that. I know the firm had sent us costs as of a certain date, and we were waiting for costs to this day, and I'm not sure whether we received that or not.
I believe on January 22nd, 2009, we received a letter from the firm stating
that goes into the entire...
It's the hourly rate out of our retainer.
Right.
Would that be a way to state that, perhaps?
So we have an attorney, and we pay him 50 hours a month, and then he works on district business. Is that fair to say?
That's pretty accurate, yeah.
Okay.
And they are able to determine generally...
Yeah, and, you know, we kind of talked about this. It's not something that we can get down to
a penny.
And the other issue was, well, how do we discern what was, because I believe that Director Bookout had also made public records requests that weren't necessarily related to the litigation. So, but that's, I mean, what we put together, I think, was as good of an idea as we could get.
Any public comment on this? Anything else the board wants to know on this?
Well, since this was an action item, maybe we could have it as an attachment in our next board packet.
Yes.
Because I noticed numerous dates and stuff, just as a information.
Okay.
And then I suggest taking it off the agenda after that. The item's been fulfilled.
Okay. Water and sewer master plans and rate studies. How are we coming on that, Kevin? That was number 5.
Right. I had hoped to have someone from the Wallace Group here tonight. That's not possible, so we may want to reschedule this for another meeting. But basically, the work is proceeding, and the rate study work is proceeding on the water and sewer master plans. The rate study work is not yet started. It needs to wait until some of the master plan work is completed so that the cost of projects and the financing of those can be considered in the rate study.
Thank you. Any questions of staff on this item? Any comments from the public? If not, thank you very much.
I would like to comment on the old business item. I'm glad to see that this is on the agenda because it allows us to keep track of things going forward. A couple of other things that come to my mind that I think I would like to see tracked under old business is the status of our audits and progress that we're making.
To you soon on that meeting that you had to go over your goals and to settle on them.
A date certain of the next packet?
Yeah, I think we could say date certain of the next packet. Certainly.
That's the goals.
Yep. For 2009, correct.
Thank you.
That could be just a one-time. Wouldn't have to be carried on old business beyond that.
No, we don't want it on old business anymore.
We just want it in the packet. Exactly.
The
audit status has taken so long that I would like to see that certainly added to the consideration of old business.
Well, since Director Hill brought up the audit, where do we stand on that at this point?
The field work has been completed on the audit. We have not received the management letter yet. Well, I'm expecting that by the end of March that we will have a final audit to bring to the board for approval. And that's for the fiscal year closed 2007. Once that happens, we'll begin on 2008. A lot of the 2008 work has already been completed, and so I think that will follow rather shortly as compared to how long it's taken to get the 08. And then about that time we should be on top of June 30th or thereabouts, and that will mean that work will begin on the 2010 audit.
And that
year-ending 2009 audit.
And that is the final year of the contract?
Yes.
9?
Mm-hmm. You had a 3-year engagement.
Okay. All right. I think reports of the district representatives. Jim goes to the Sand District, so I'll leave that. The fire committee was canceled because the chiefs weren't going to be in town, and we had so many meetings this week, so we'll catch up next time. And... That's all I have. Vice President Hill?
I did attend the Sanitation District meeting on February 4th. Business items there was approving funding in for the new centrifuge structure. This is structural engineering for the biosolids handling building where the new centrifuge will be located. We also voted to support the LAFCO commissioner, including dry cleaners, restaurants, hospitals, and certain medical facilities, especially if they process x-rays, photo labs, auto repair shops, and car washes. And the businesses meeting those types of descriptions in the area will be visited by resident representatives of the sanitation district, and they have a new little folder that they'll be bringing with them to explain to the business owners the pretreatment program and some of the requirements. This is basically a voluntary compliance program, but there will be, I think there is already in place requirements for those types of discharges to be treated before it goes into the sewer. So there'll be an inspection to make sure that the discharges to the sewer system are in compliance with the chemical discharge requirements. This is for everyone's protection so that large fines are not levied against the district and returned back to the business owners for improper discharges of chemicals into the sanitary sewers department. So if you're a business owner, I think you'll be pleased with the way the district is handling this. We'd like to have the inspectors come out and meet the business owners and explain what the program is about, how it works, and to hopefully minimize any effects on the businesses, but still maintain the goal of not discharging untreated chemical material into the sewers.
Would this be something that if they were building a something new, a car wash or a photo lab or something, when they were in the construction period of putting that in, that they would go visit then also to have a step forward on that?
Yes, they would.
So some way that they'll, is there some way the county will tell the sanitation district
I think
these are the new
Sanitation district gets connection fees.
Mandatory later on and new, more stringent requirements coming in from the
state? I think it's already mandatory. And the, for example, they've had DDT, there was a well-publicized incident where DDT was had passed through the sanitation plant and was discharged into the ocean. Again, the sanitary treatment plant is not designed for that kind of discharge, and there are already regulations against discharging those kinds of chemicals to the environment. And so what this would do is it's basically to heighten awareness of the business owners and ensure compliance with minimum disruption or impact to the businesses, but still maintain the requirements for treatment of chemicals and so forth, removal of those before the wastewater is discharged into the sewer system.
Is that what the fine was for that we received recently at the plant?
No.
What was that fine for?
That went back to, I believe it was 2001. There was one of the process, the sanitation district at that time did not have any redundancy in the process, and so when equipment had to be taken offline, they did not meet the discharge requirements specifically. And so there was moments of noncompliance in terms of like about 3 days worth of literally momentary noncompliance. And for that, they were fined $5,000, which was an exceptionally low fine. The state in their need to find sources of funding have, at the time, the sanitation district was told that there would be no fine pursued. But as it turned out, they did pursue that. That's the only violation the sanitation plant has ever had for their normal process. And there have been fines levied statewide that were in the millions of dollars. So the fact that in the history of the entire sanitation district, there's only been a $5,000 fine is fairly
true. Had been meeting them so well, which was, which of course the district fought to, it's pretty well an unfair thing that the state was trying to do, because when they do that, that makes it, they make it harder to meet those requirements in order to, or what the end result is then you have these times where you can't meet them for one reason or another, and then that gives the state a reason to come in and fine and pull money from the district. And of course, the district is totally supported by the fees that we all pay. For Oceano, Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach is also connected to the same sewer plant. And for Oceano, those fees are paid with their water bills. And anytime we get fines, of course, that's something that is directly related to what we have to pay as users of the sewer plant. And so, and with that, if, that's the same thing with these chemicals, that like the DDT that was in there, or if there's any other chemicals that end up getting dumped into the sewer, that can result in fines. And then those fines directly go to each of us, in our sewer rates that we pay with our monthly or bi-monthly bills. And so if there is, if you do see people dumping things down the sewer or so, be sure to let proper authorities know about it, so that if it does end up being something that is unlawful to do, it can be handled properly, and to try to make sure we don't get any fines and within the district.
Again, it's a testimony to the well-run facility that we have, and they are proactively working to establish redundancy in the process, looking forward to stricter environmental regulations coming along and avoiding the potential for fines that could result. So they are proactively working to keep the plant in full compliance. Landfill has a receiving station for that material, and that can be disposed of without putting it down the sanitary sewer. So, again, everyone's cooperation is sure appreciated on that.
Okay, thank you very much. Director Dahl.
The only thing is that I have to report is that is that we all attended the meeting last night to go through all the general manager applications, and that we were all brought up to date on that, and the public was brought up to date on that during there earlier in the meeting. So I have nothing other than that.
Thank you. Director Dean.
I have nothing further. I think we're pretty much covered. Okay. What happened?
Director Lucy.
No, I have nothing.
Hey, are there any public comments on any of the director's reports? If not, moving on to number 11, general manager's items for discussion.
Seems I've had something and it's slipping my mind, so I'm going to pass.
All right, thank you.
Are we related?
By age, yes.
Number 12, board member items for discussion. This is our last chance, board members, to discuss anything that we might want to say tonight. Panel, I'll just go right, starting your end.
I have nothing.
Vice President Hill?
Nothing, thank you.
Director Dahl?
No.
Director Lucy?
Okay,
thank you. Consideration of the warrants. We did receive the warrants last night or this morning. Everybody have a chance to look at them?
Yes.
Madam President, I did have something to say on that. One of the director's checks, due to an error on staff part, not the director's part, was too large by $50. That has been corrected. That check has been voided, and a new one with the correct amount issued. However, on your warrants, that check still shows $50 too high. On next month's warrants, you'll have the correction. And I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Thank you very much. Any other questions on the warrants?
I noticed one of the things I was looking for was CRM, and I found it. It's the archaeological.
Not looking for a motion, please.
I would move that we approve the warrants with the noting the comment that Kevin made for the correction that'll show up on the next package.
Second.
It's been moved and second to pay the bills. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. We'll pay the bills. Last public comment of the evening. Any public comment? Hearing none. Written communication. Did we get anything after the agenda was printed?
There was one email that was received for Director Lucy, and according to your protocols, I distribute it to the entire board, but nothing was addressed to the entire board.
Okay. Thank you very much. With that.
And let me assure you, it was only compliments.
We're adjourned.